Preaching in pink is always very special, is what Father Kevin said to me when I thanked him for the opportunity to give the homily this weekend. And special it is, because as we know, pink, or more formally, rose, is a liturgical color we use only twice a year, on Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, and on Lectare Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. At the halfway points of these two great penitential seasons, rose, a brighter version of the season's ordinary color, violet, is used to remind us that our journeys through Advent and Lent are not just about penance and sacrifice, they're also about preparation and joy. Sadly, though, for many, these journeys can be anything but joyful. For a whole host of reasons, we Christians can and often do find ourselves toiling with questions that cause us to doubt what we've been taught to believe. Well, for those of us who have experienced this kind of doubt and have failed to feel the great joy that should accompany these journeys, today's gospel reading about John the Baptist is for us. It's remarkable, isn't it, that the same John who leaped in his mother's womb when she heard her pregnant cousin Mary's greeting, whose mother during that same visit said to her cousin, "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The John who in the desert of Judea proclaimed that the kingdom of God was at hand. And the John who, after baptizing his cousin Jesus, heard a voice from the heavens say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That same John is the John who sent his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" If that's not doubt, I don't know what is. But notice, John was not rebuked for expressing doubt. Instead, the witness of John's own disciples, by the witness of his own disciples, John would have been given to understand that Jesus was the one who worked the miracles foretold by Isaiah. Like John, we should never be afraid to take our questions to Jesus. Honest doubts will never be met with disapproval. Miracles still happen, and God will not hesitate to open our hearts to experience, and sometimes even our eyes to see those miracles, if that's what it takes to restore our faith. Well, what about joy? Where in this gospel reading do we find a reason to be joyful? To rejoice, as the Latin word gaudete exhorts us to do. In my view, we find it right at the end of the passage, at the point where Jesus says to the crowds, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, I can imagine that some of you might be thinking, "Deacon, I'm not seeing it. You're going to help me out here." So let me do that. First, let me point out that it can't be the case that John the Baptist was greater than Jesus, who was born of a woman. And it's certainly not the case that he was greater than Jesus' mother, Mary, who was conceived without original sin, whose immaculate conception we celebrated just this past Thursday. As Dr. Peter Kraft, professor of philosophy at Boston College, puts it, the comparison Jesus is making is not a comparison between individuals, but a comparison between kingdoms, between Israel, represented by John, and the Church of Christ. He said, God established both kingdoms, but the treasures of the new kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, are infinitely greater than all the treasures of the great and holy kingdom God established in Israel, his chosen people. John would never see the cross, so he would never get to witness the full revelation of God's love. It's an amazing thing, says William Barclay, who was a professor of divinity and biblical criticism at the University of Glasgow, that it's possible for the humblest Christian, the least in the kingdom of heaven, to know more about God than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Those who have seen the cross, he says, that's us, by the way, have seen the heart of God in a way that no one who lived before the cross could ever see it. That's the reason to be joyful. That's our reason to rejoice. Let me close by returning for a moment to Dr. Kraft. In order to help us appreciate as fully as possible the joy revealed by today's passage from Matthew, Dr. Kraft asks this question. What did Jesus leave the world that it did not have before? Provocatively, he says, we still have death. We still have sin. We still have suffering. We still have wars. We still have diseases. We still have wickedness. His answer couldn't be more delightful. He says, the answer is as simple as a lightning bolt. A lightning bolt. We have God. God in person. God incarnate. God in the flesh. We have the eternal Son of God who made man and who suffered and died and rose for our salvation and who is still here, all of him, body and blood, soul and divinity, hiding beneath the appearances of bread and wine. Brothers and sisters, as we humbly prepare to celebrate the nativity of this Jesus who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, and remains with us in the Blessed Sacrament, let us proudly wear the color of this day, and let us do what the color exhorts us to do, to rejoice. Gaudete.